Good afternoon and welcome to Night Talk. We're without our blessed Joe Murphy. He's away on vacation, but we do have Joe Nemezinski, the station manager who does everything for us. Joseph has always let us start with a prayer to St. Michael. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A big week, Joe, coming up next week. So what we thought we'd do is kind of advertise a little bit on Night Talk, because it deals with two things, patriotism and community affairs. So the first one we're going to do is we're going to talk to Anita Adams, who's working on the Tunnel to Towers mobile unit, who's coming in here next week on the 25th and 26th.
That's correct.
All righty.
Well, Tuesday and Wednesday, right?
Yes, Tuesday and Wednesday. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about what's happening.
I'll start with the thank you for a conversation, for allowing me to come in, and for this invitation. So the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Mobile Museum will be coming to Trinity High School on Tuesday, April 25th, and Wednesday, April 26th. The museum will be open for school children from 8 until 3, and then it will be open to the public from 4 until 7.
Yeah, now I heard that Tuesday's the big day. You're actually going to have a little bit of ceremony and everything, not necessarily for school children, but for the community and the adults.
That is correct. Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we are having an opening ceremony. Our local senators and representatives will attend. We will be reading the biographies of the gentlemen that will be there with the museum accompanying it. These are gentlemen that were actually in 9/11. And our Patriots Club will be there as well. So a little ceremony for the community to come together, do good.
Okay. Now, the ceremony actually is at 4 o'clock, correct?
It is at 4 o'clock.
Okay, and then it continues on until 7, so that anyone in the community, other than school children still come, but anybody in the community that would like to see this memorial, that would be the time that they would be
right. The ceremony is going to be short. It should be about 15, 20 minutes, and then after that, anyone in the community can come and see the museum. It's open until 7, and it is free of charge.
Fantastic. I know that Knights are interested because some of the Knights councils are actually working toward it. I know that there's a cost associated with this, but you've done a great deal in as far as taking care of the Tunnel to Tower cost. But there's also incidentals, and we're going to be talking to a lot of our councils and our assemblies about helping offset that cost, which is actually minimal.
That is correct. And we're very grateful for your support and help.
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, if you look at the Knights Columbus, patriotism is our fourth degree mantra, and you know, it's something that I think we as individuals and as Catholics, we have to consider that, how important freedom is to us.
It is.
Because one of our basic principles is freedom of religion, and we cannot afford to lose that, and it's all based on everything that we do. Now, I know this is quite the thing. Can you tell us a little bit about the van itself and the mobile units coming up?
Well, the van is an amazing situation. It is a full-size tractor-trailer van, and when it pulls up, it will convert into a three-room museum, complete with handicap access. So we will be turning a moving tractor-trailer into a three-room museum, available for everyone to walk through and learn from.
Yeah, I think one of the things about this is that this is a big advantage for those of us who do not want to travel to New York, and we can actually see it brought to us, and on behalf of the entire community of Central Pennsylvania, I'd like to thank you for doing this,
for actually taking the time. Thank you, Mike, for helping me and for inviting me on.
Yeah, what I do is very minimal to compare to what you and the young people have done at Trinity, and that's really fantastic.
I appreciate that. Yeah, so the museum is an amazing situation. We will have three 9/11 veterans accompanying the museum. So these are folks with firsthand knowledge and firsthand accounts of what happened. Visitors will be able to come and interact with them, talk to them, and learn about their experiences on 9/11. One of the gentlemen who's coming actually lost a brother. He was one of the 343, I believe, firefighters killed that day. We will also be able to hear the first responder radio transmissions, and we'll be able to see artifacts from the World Trade Center and items that were recovered from the rubble after the towers collapsed. So, again, to agree with what you said, definitely a smaller version of what you will see in New York, but a nice piece of history coming to the community.
Well, I think what's so important about this is you know, we talk about the Holocaust. It's something that we cannot forget. And this is no different. This is a major dramatic event in the history of the United States. It's the first time we've ever really attacked on our own soil. I mean, we've had the Japanese during World War II drop little balloons in and everything, but as far as a major attack and the destruction of property and human life, this is by far the greatest that we've ever felt here in the United States, and we cannot forget that.
You're right. And yeah. Rumor has it that some schools are not teaching this, so...
Yeah, a lot of people don't know about what happened. Young people don't know what happened, really, on 9/11.
You're right about that. Yeah. As I am working and doing different things in the community and dealing with some of the younger folks, they're not familiar with the foundation, not familiar with 9/11.
Yeah, it is a shame. It really is. And I think that's one of the things that we have to look at as older adults, is keeping these things alive so that people are aware of the fact that this is our history. And it doesn't matter what part of our history, you know, if you go back to slavery and everything else, the good and the bad is what we are. And all of it makes up who we are today and what we have to look forward to in the future. And sometimes it's a little scary because I don't know if we're really looking back so that we can start to look forward.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I think back to just after 9/11, everybody was patriotic, and everybody was waving an American flag and being proud of being an American. And everybody on the street, as you walk down the street, everyone had a camaraderie with people, with strangers. And we don't have that now. I mean, and I'm suggesting we have another tragedy like that, but, you know, I don't know what we need to do to reawaken that patriotism.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because that's one of the goals or one of the purposes of bringing this here, is to unite our community together. And you are exactly right. After 9/11, we were very united. So we're hoping that's one of the many things that this exhibit does. First, educate. Number two, unite.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever been so disunited in our country than we are right now. Maybe I'm incorrect, but it seems to me like in an average conversation, there are so many things that we can't talk about because there's so much disagreement in our country right now. But if we could agree that our country is great, and we can agree that patriotism is a good thing, I think that's a step in the right direction.
It is. It absolutely is.
Yeah, and realistically, even when you don't, people may not think about it or overtly emphasize what they feel. We're a country that people are running to, not running away from. So there's got to be something pretty good here, and I think I think this is one of the ways to be able to show it.
Could you tell us about the Patriot Club?
Sure.
Because I know they're involved in this, right?
We started Patriot Clubs back in 2016. And what we do is go out in the community and we work with students, school-age students, to be involved and to become engaged in their community and in their country. We do an awful lot of volunteer work, things like putting flags and wreaths on the graves. We support the Gettysburg Foundation. We support Fort Indian Town Gap. We do an awful lot of work with some simple things, just making cards and things for veterans that are hospitalized. We do care packages. We do an awful lot in the community to help support it. Try to teach our young people this will be their country very soon, and they need to become engaged and they need to become active in it if they want it to stay the country it's been.
What is the age group?
Right now we're working with high school kids, but mm-hmm. we do have some younger clubs starting.
Mm-hmm. And so you have students involved from Trinity?
Yes.
Right? How many are involved?
That's a good question. The first time we started this club, we had about 75 involved in the club. Right now I don't know exactly what the roster is, but probably about 40.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be there, I assume, at the event?
They should be, mm-hmm. Yeah. Spring track season's going on right now, so we're going to see who we get.
Well, I think that's how it is. Today, everybody's busy with something, but this is a great opportunity for the community to get together and take a look at what we've got going on.
Absolutely.
one of the things that I know you said the American Legion is going to be there, I guess, some of their representatives at VFW.
Yeah, and that would be a good time for me to pitch the folks that are supporting this project. The American Legion and the VFW have supported this very much, and we're grateful for that. The KFC, the Elks, some of our senators are also in support. So, yeah, there will be a nice group of people there to welcome the museum and welcome the community to the museum. Again, it's an offering right now that is free of charge. You can bring your family out or you can come out. So there's a little bit of economic relief there. It's something you can do that doesn't break your wallet.
And it's going to be in the parking lot, I assume, at Trinity High School,
the
correct?
The back parking lot of Trinity High School,
that's correct. In the back parking lot.
Back parking lot. We'll have signs out and American flags.
Yeah, and just a mirror. Two or three blocks from the newly opened Chick-fil-A, which I stopped at yesterday after golf. And when we were on the phone, as a matter of fact, Anita, that's a good opportunity.
It's another good Christian organization.
Good opportunity to grab a quick little bite maybe, you know, right. At the mall or at the Chick-fil-A, sure. Trader Joe's, get something to take home. Texas Roadhouse, they're all in that area.
I haven't heard about this program ever. Has this trailer been around in the area before and I just missed it, or is this the first time it's in the area?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I think this may be the first time we've brought the trailer to mm-hmm. this location, but I'm not sure. That's a good question.
I hadn't heard
about
it.
But the trailer is developed to bring history to the folks in the community that cannot get to New York or mm-hmm. don't want to go to New York to see it. So it's very nice. I've seen it several times and it's very worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been to New York, but if you don't want to go to New York, this is probably a good thing to do, right?
Absolutely.
And so you're expecting a lot of people. Have you been working on trying to get community people to this thing? Because I know we just found out about this here at Holy Family Radio very recently. So I mean, have you been working on trying to get people to it?
We have. Mm-hmm. We definitely have. We are working with all the area TV stations and obviously radio stations. We have a lot out on social media through the Legions and VFW posts, through the townships, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. We have to wrap it up.
All right, Anita, thank you so very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
All of you out there, good opportunity Tuesday and Wednesday, 4 o'clock to 7 p.m. Make sure you get out there and visit us.
All right. Thank you so much for this time and this opportunity.
Okay, we'll be back after these messages. Thanks for listening to Holy Family Radio. Welcome back to our second segment of Night Talk. I'm Joan Ebestinski. Mikey Kubik, we have another guest for the second part of our show.
Yes, we do. As we talked about in the first part of the show, a lot happening next week, the week of the 23rd on. And what we're going to be doing is today, or for this part of the show, we're going to be talking to the Deputy Grand Knight of St. Catherine Drexel's Council 13,100. And that gentleman is worthy Deputy Grand Knight Jim Wilson. How are you doing, Jim?
Very good. And thank you for the opportunity to speak to the audience today.
Oh, we're glad to have you. Like I said, there's a lot going on next week. We have Tunnel to Towers over at Trinity to start off the week. And then you guys are kind of finishing up the week on Friday, April 28th. With your fourth annual car show.
That is correct.
Is it going to be a busy week for the Knights of Columbus, right?
Yes, it is. I think that's a lot of weeks.
And, yes, exactly.
And the thing is, there's really a lot going on with this car show. I'm looking at the flyer and I see, tons of stuff that's happening. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about it, Jim, and why you guys got started with doing the car show?
Obviously, if being a knight and being active in our community, we're always looking for things that we can do to also bring the community together and also maybe generate a little revenue for the council so we can help enhance and push out our good initiatives throughout the community and throughout the parish. So we look at it as a way to bring the community together, but at the same time, it's a fundraiser for us. And we were looking at a couple of different ideas. And quite frankly, I like cars. I like going to car shows. And I started to see some car shows in the area where 100, 150 cars, and they were charging $5, $10 a piece to come in. You're looking at the crowds, the people getting together. In light of everything that happened with COVID, people want to get out of the house. They want to get together with their families. They want to get together with their friends. There's the concept of somebody having their car in storage all winter, and they cleaned it up and they get it ready and they want to display their car, and people are very proud of their cars. So we came up with the idea of, why don't we try this car show? And what we did was we decided to do trophies to go along with it. So every year we've had at least 10 plus trophies. The people that come in will pay their admission fee. They get to walk around for a couple hours. Everybody that attends the show will get a little card where they'll mark their top three. And at the end, they put them into a ballot box. And then a number of very dedicated nights will start documenting the ballots. And then we go through and we give out our trophies.
It sounds neat. I think it's probably good for the younger kids to see older style cars. Because I know now when I open up the hood of my car, you can't see the ground or anything because there's so much stuff inside there. Where in the old days, I had a 57 Chevy, you could actually stand inside because there was so much room. You just had the engine and you had space down there. So I guess that's kind of neat for the family to see.
I think it's great because from a historical perspective, you can see a number of models that are still around today. And we'll use an example of the Corvette has evolved, and it's gone from a front engine six cylinder in the 1950s to a rear engine eight cylinder in the 2020s. And to be able to see different types of cars and how they've evolved and how the technology has changed to some guys are, they're proud that they're driving around a car that doesn't have airbags, any lock brakes anymore. And they show that and they're very proud and they're very extensive in their knowledge of what they've done with the car. And quite frankly, in some of the older cars, you can still work on them and feel confident when you do that work without having to have a computer.
Yeah, it's really changed.
I've never been to a car show, Jim. So what would I expect if I'm able to go to this thing?
And what you will see is, for example, we would have a tent, an entrance tent. You'll have at least one or two graders there. They would collect the fee. And then what they would do is hand you, for the first 50 or 60 people that show up, maybe the first 100, we give out what we call a dash plaque. And a number of people have asked, well, what a dash plaque is. And it's a little metal, and I have a little copy here, about 3 inches by 4 inches, actually names the event. And for us, it says 4th Annual Car Show 2023. We have the emblem for the Knights of Columbus on it. We have a picture of a classic car. And then on top of that, it shows who it's sponsored by: St. Catherine Drexel Knights of Columbus Council 13,100. And a lot of the people that come to these car shows love to get these dash plaques because they display them at home. Sometimes they'll display them in their cars. And it also gives them a reminder of, wait a minute, I was at that show last year. This wasn't a bad show. I'm going to go back, get my dash plaque, and compete for a trophy. But once you get the car, once you get your car in there and you pay your $5, or for us, it's $5 on Friday evening, you'll end up parking the car. We're going to have an assistant park you, put your car in an area. And then what happens is you just pop your trunk. You have a chair. You can sit out in the chair, walk around, look at everybody else's cars, have people come admire your car, walk around. We have a food tent. So we're going to charge $5 for a burger, a bag of chips, and a bottled water or soda. And the same thing goes for a hot dog. Hot dog, bag of chips, bottle, water, soda for only $5. We want to keep it reasonable for the people that attend. But people will walk around, look at the cars. They'll ask a couple of questions. Most part, a lot of the people that bring their vehicles have their hood popped so they can display the engine. A lot of times the windows are down so you can actually look inside the car. There is a golden rule of never touch anybody else's car. And if you have a child with you, a lot of the people like you to bring that child, have him get as close as possible, but don't put the hands over it. Don't jump in the door. Don't do anything of that nature. But really get a good look at the car and admire what that person brought to that car show.
So no hot wire in the car and taking off down the road. You don't want that.
No, sir. No, sir.
I was looking, you're going to have music? I guess you're going to have a DJ there?
We have a DJ from our own council. He'll be playing. He's done a very, very good job for us over the years. And what happens is he'll set up, he'll have the music going in the background, and periodically through the show, there'll be a little bit of announcement just saying, hey, don't forget, we're sponsored by Knights of Columbus Council 13-100. there'll be sometimes people come up, make requests for specific songs. Some people like some of the oldies, some people like some of the newer songs. And George, our DJ, does an excellent job of playing the music. And also when a time comes, great to have that microphone there, and we do at the end, and we can make those announcements for our top 10 winners and present our trophies.
Sounds good. Now there is free, the spectators don't pay to go in.
It's $5 per car. Spectators can come, enjoy, have a good old evening. The only thing we ask is if they decide to get some food, they'll pay their fee for the food.
Mm-hmm.
We do have indoor restrooms, which is great. That it'll be an air conditioned rest area with the indoor restrooms that are clean and sanitary. There's also an indoor area where they can sit down if they don't want to stay outside. If it's a little warm, you can sit inside our little break area inside the building next to the church. And one thing I try to stress too is, because of the way our parking lot is set up at the church, no one will have to park their cars on grass. They'll be able to have their cars on asphalt. They don't have to worry about their tires, their undercarriage getting dirty. It's a nice, clean asphalt area where we can easily handle 200 cars plus.
Right. Now, Jim, one of the things I saw is you're supposed to register by email. I saw your flyer. You guys are really right up there as far as technology goes. You actually have a QR code.
Yes.
Can people still register at this time?
You can come up to the night of the event. Just drive up, and usually, honestly, about 90% of the people will actually come to the day of the event and just pull up, because sometimes they don't want to prepay because they don't know what the biggest issue is, weather.
You're right.
And a lot of guys, a lot of owners of the vehicles do not like to take their vehicles out in the rain. It's the pride thing, and the fact that they've cleaned it up so much to get it to this point, they don't want it to get rained on and have to clean it all up again.
Yeah, it's kind of tough, too, if you're showing off a convertible. You don't want to have to. I mean, that's the whole point, is showing that it is a convertible and showing the interior, and you don't want to have to put the hood up.
Yes.
Well, it sounds like you guys really have a handle on this, and it sounds like a great time. I mean, for $5, it's kind of hard to beat it if you're a shower, and for free, it's even a better deal for the spectators. I mean, you can't beat this. And you have a chance to grab a quick little meal, enjoy yourself. It's 4:30 to 7:30, right? You have 3 hours of being able to walk around, have a good time, listen to some music, cheer on the person that you would like to see a car win. I'm sure there's some fans that they get in there and they, oh, man, that T-Bird is really nice, or, well, I really like that Vet, or, you know, I like this muscle car. So I'm sure there's a lot of that goes on, too, during the event.
There is. It seems that there are certain people that are, again, you'll say there's certain people we focused on a certain, that they love their Thunderbirds. They love they love the old GTOs. A lot of the older Chevelles, the muscle from the big V8 engines, a lot of people really seem to drift towards. But then there's also, you'll get the occasional 57 Triumph TR3A four-cylinder that pops up. That just comes out of nowhere, or somebody bring in. For me personally, I love seeing some of the, I call them the oddball cars, where somebody's going to pull up in a late 60s Volkswagen Bug that's completely redundant, maybe look like a dune buggy. Did somebody put a little bit more thought into it, or did something a little bit different? And we do get those type of vehicles show up every now and then. And that's what I think is fun when I go around the area, because the mid-state here is fantastic when it comes to all the car shows and the diversity and the type of cars that people have. You look at the Carlisle Fairgrounds throughout the summer, there'll be a Dodge show, a Chrysler show. I mean, sorry, the Dodge show, the Ford show, a Chevy show / GM show, that the all around import show, they'll call it. And the people will come out and they belong to their car clubs. They bring their cars out and they show them, and they really enjoy showing them.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what the typically your show. What is the age range of the cars? I mean, you're seeing back in the 50s. Is that
we get you're seeing a lot of people now. You'll see that. I think we're seeing more. Like, I see more 60s and early 70s. But then we're seeing the trend now towards what Dodge has done recently with some of the bigger Chargers and Challengers and things of that nature, and the new modern Camaros and Corvettes. So you're starting to see the trend where they're starting to go to what they call the quote unquote modern muscle, and you're seeing a good mix of both.
Mm.
That's really something. And again, as you mentioned, this is a great thing for the councils to do. It's a good fundraiser, gets your community involved. You get to meet people. Hopefully, you might get some of your parishioners to come out and enjoy it so much that they'll join your council. And then it gives them an opportunity to do more.
A recruiting opportunity is always good for the council.
You got that right. And it's always good for the order. The more we have, the better off we are. And the more men we can bring into the faith, maybe a little bit stronger than they were just going to church. That also helps.
Yes. And we honestly, I think the word and the gentlemen that help and their families that help us throughout this event, it cannot happen without the support of the wives and the council. And we have a very strong council. And I really do want to get that out there to thank them and our parish, Father Ken Smith, our pastor, for supporting us for these type of events.
Yeah, I think yep. That's important. You know, it is a symbiotic relationship, the Knights of Columbus, along with the Catholic Church and our pastors that lead us in faith. And Joe, I think we're getting pretty close to that time.
Yeah, we're going to have to wrap it up, guys. Thanks for being with us on this edition of Night Talk. Jim, Mike, I'm Jonah Bastinski. Thank you for listening again to Night Talk here on Holy Family Radio. God bless.
Thank you.